This week, December 16th, 2014, on The Digital Story. Canon takes aim at mirrorless again. Holiday photo tips. New Polaroid Socialmatic camera. BPG. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Well, it's rainy outside here in Northern California, but inside it's nice and dry, and I have plenty of things to share with you today. I'll start out with a snapshot, and then we'll roll through a weekly update. Have a few nice features for you, and then we'll do a little virtual camera club news and slide right into the holidays. All right, so let's get started right now. So this snapshot is titled, Specifications Aren't Always the Most Important Feature. Sometimes when it comes to cameras and actually just about anything in life, I opt for love over reason. And the reason why I bring this up today is because I was kind of switching things around in my bag the other day. And for my second camera, I was going, you know, the camera that I really want in there for my backup camera isn't the most logical choice. The most logical choice would be one of my mirrorless cameras that had the same mount as all the lenses in the bag and the same mount as the primary camera that I'm using, and, you know, ideally the same battery. That way I could, you know, be most efficient, so to speak. Then I was thinking, you know, okay, my primary camera is very nice and robust and dependable. Odds are that, you know, things aren't going to go wrong with it. And if something does go wrong, I still have a backup camera, regardless if it's the logical one or not. So I pulled out the logical choice, and instead I put my Fujifilm X20 in there. Now, obviously you've heard me talk about this camera before, and it's a camera that I just like. And in a lot of ways, I can't even explain why I like it so much. I like the way it looks. I like the features that it has. I like taking pictures with it. I just like the camera. But in a lot of ways, it's not my logical choice for the second camera in the bag because it takes a different battery. It has a 2/3 inch sensor instead of a Micro Four Thirds sensor, so it has a smaller sensor. It doesn't have interchangeable lenses. It has the zoom lens that's on it is the one that you get. And it's not that much smaller, actually, than the camera that I took out. So, so you know, I'm sort of thinking, well, why do I want to do this? Why is this so important to me? And it's because I want to have that camera in there, not as a backup camera, but for the moments where I want to shoot with that camera, where either the setting is as such, or I'm just in a certain mood, or there's a kind of shot I know I can get maybe using the, you know, the monochrome film emulator that's in there. I don't know exactly why. I'm not even thinking of it as a backup camera. I'm thinking as the other camera. So the main camera, the Micro Four Thirds mirrorless, that's my work camera. I dig it as a work camera. It's dependable and it gives me great shots and I come away with what I need. But sometimes I want to do something different, something that, you know, isn't logical. And that's when I want this other camera. And so I made the switch. It's, you know, the one is out and the other one is in. And I've already pulled it out and shot with it a couple times since I made the change. But I think it's interesting for someone like me who really, you know, tries to be grounded and logical and give solid advice and, you know, all that kind of stuff, how sometimes I will do something like this just because I want to and because it feels right. And yes, even when it defies logic. And that is this week's snapshot. Okay, let's get to the weekly update. I have two items for you. The first one, this is kind of interesting to me. Canon to target the GH4 with a new DSLR type. Now, this is a rumor. This is actually from Canon Rumors. And what they say here is, we're told that Canon will be directly targeting the Panasonic GH4 at NAB 2015 in Las Vegas this spring. The new camera will have a 1-inch sensor, shoot 4K video, and will be very portable. Now, they didn't know what kind of lens mount Canon's thinking about or any other details. And we don't even know if this is true or not. This is a rumor, although it feels somewhat reliable. And we'll see, of course, when we know in the spring if they actually do announce it at NAB 2015. But clearly, if it's true, Canon has not given up on the mirrorless sector. They just haven't figured out how to do it right yet. Maybe this camera will change their fortunes. Also this week, a new image format called BPG looks to replace the popular JPEG format. Now, this is complements of f-stoppers. BPG, which stands for Better Portable Graphics, is based on the H.265 video codec by utilizing the open source X.265. What does this mean? That means it offers the ability to render 14 bits per color channel as opposed to the 8 bits that you get with a JPEG. Now, if this is accepted, and that's a big if, that is a bump up. I mean, going from 8 bits to 14 bits on your color, that's a pretty nice thing, especially if it doesn't cost us any more space. However, I must say that going all the way back to my early roots with O'Reilly when I was editor for Web Review, and I mean, we're going way back on that, I think 1999 on that, JPEG 2000 was going to take over the world then. And it didn't. And the regular old JPEG is still there in place. And then PNG was going to take over the world, and it hasn't done so either. So I don't know about BPG, Better Portable Graphics, but I thought, well, at least you should know what it stands for and know what it's about. Because if it does take over the web, well, you know, you want to be in the know, don't you? And that is this week's weekly update. Story number one, 5 holiday photo tips. And I've talked about this before, actually last year about this time, and got a really nice response from it. And we're coming around again to where we might be hanging out with friends and family. And I thought, you know what? We should review these because even I don't remember them. I have to look them up and go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So I thought, okay, I have these 5 holiday photo tips for you. I'm going to share them right now so that we all can refresh together. And we'll be ready when we have our cameras in hand and friends in front of us to get some lovely images from our time together. Here's the first one. Think portraits as well as activities. Yes, it's fun to photograph Uncle Bill opening up his present, but get a portrait too. In the coming years, those informal environmental candids will become very valuable. Number 2, reduce flash exposure. Most cameras emit too much flash indoors. Go to flash exposure compensation, set it to -2/3 or even -1, then increase your ISO to 400 or 800 to reduce the dependency on the flash itself. By doing this, then you begin to create more of a balance between the ambient lighting in the room and the light coming out from the flash. As you create that balance, you get a more natural looking portrait, yet you still have light hitting the eyes and, you know, kind of brightening up the face and, you know, doing all those sort of wonderful things. It just doesn't scream flash shot like it could if you don't make any tweaks at all. Now, the one thing that will happen when you begin to get a little bit more ambient light in the room, as opposed to the light from your flash, remember the light from your flash is fairly cool. It's bluish. And the ambient lighting is usually going to be somewhat warmish. So you might have a little bit of a mismatch in terms of the color temperature of the shot. Generally speaking, most people don't mind that at all because, you know, the warmish tint of the room sort of feels cozy and holiday-esque. But it's something to be aware of. And of course, you could always change the color balance by going to, let's say, cloudy or flash on your white balance setting to warm up the flash, but that'll even warm up the room even more. And then, of course, now we're getting into, well, do you want to put a gel on your flash to balance it with the ambient lighting? You know, that's what you would do if it's a serious shoot. I'm not sure that that is necessary here. Go for the cheery, easy, simple way of getting a nice portrait. Remember, if you just do what we're talking about here, your portraits, your little candid shots are going to be better than like 90% of the people who have cameras, not only in the room, but the whole holiday season. So anyway, back to the tip is I sort of run down another road here. The tip is reduce flash exposure by using your flash exposure compensation, not your regular exposure compensation, but your flash exposure compensation. If you don't know where it is, look it up in your manual, draw that down a bit, increase the ISO a bit. You can even go up to ISO 1600 if you want, depending on what kind of camera you have, and get a nice sort of mix between the light coming from the flash and the ambient light. The shots will look terrific and people will think, wow, he takes such nice shots. Third one, get a group shot. Yes, everyone will moan and groan, but group shots tell a big story in just a single frame. And it's really worth your while to set up. In fact, my experience is if you send no other shot to people after the holidays, if you just send them the group shot, they will be happy. That is the one shot that people will put on their wall, they'll put in a scrapbook, they'll hang on to and say, remember the Christmas of 2014, remember the Hanukkah gathering of 2014, here's where everyone was, and didn't we have a great time? The group shot, like I said, you know, people do whine about it. I really, you know, it's kind of funny. I go with it myself. I just kind of have fun with it. And, you know, I egg them on and tease them and so forth. But I do like to be creative with it. I love group shots where I get up on a staircase or something and shoot down at the group. And then, of course, don't leave yourself out of the group shot. So put the camera on self-timer, put on a little tripod or, you know, steady it on a table, whatever you have to do so that you can get in the shot too. You don't want to be, you know, the missing person just because you're the photographer. But anyway, group shots are important. Try to get one at any gathering of friends or family, no matter how informal, even if it's just holding the camera out and doing like a selfie group shot, do it. Do it. You'll be so happy later on that you did. Number four, this is number four, photograph food and decorations. Be sure to capture the food table before everyone digs in. Believe me, you don't want the shot after everyone's ravaged it. You want to find that is not something that you're going to want to look at later on. But, and you know, I used to do this at weddings too. I would make sure that I got there early enough so that I could get the food table, the cake, all that sort of stuff before it became demolished by, you know, the hungry hordes of people that are attending. So anyway, get that shot before everyone digs in. Zoom in on decorations, little knickknacks. If there's family decorations that have been handed down generation after generation, get those. All those little detail shots. Not only will people appreciate you shooting those shots, they sort of break up the rhythm of a group of shots. If you're sending people 10 or 12 shots, you know, if it's everyone, you know, just opening a gift or something like that, even after 10 shots, that can become kind of dull. But if you have a group shot, you have some portraits, you have some tight shots of some decorations, you have the food table, now you can see that this thing has a little bit of variety and a little bit of rhythm. And that group of shots, not only will they be more interesting, but they'll do a better job of telling the story of the event. And finally, number 5, share your images. The more people in the family that you share pictures with, the better chances are that they will survive the decades. Believe it or not, sending email attachments is often the most effective because recipients don't have to do anything to receive them. They just show up. And email is still probably the most accepted and probably highest success rate method of sharing photos. So you can just take 4, 5, 6, throw them in as email attachments, send them off, and let people enjoy them. And even on email, you can do like a group send, right? So you just, you know, send them to 5, 6, 10 people at once. You can build web pages. You can put them on Flickr. You can do all that stuff also. Nothing wrong with that. Whatever you do, however you like doing it, just do something so that you can share those photos with other people so that they can enjoy them. And like I said, it gives them better odds of, you know, surviving over the decades and, you know, staying in the family. All right, so those are my 5 holiday photo tips. Regardless of what you celebrate, what occasion, what religion, what anti-religion, no matter what you like to do, these photo tips will help you take pictures and capture the moments of those you spend time with this time of year. Okay, story number 2. I want to talk about something here called the Polaroid Socialmatic. This is an interesting device. It's just been announced. We had heard about it in the past, but we never had a release date, and now the release date is going to be January 2015, probably even early January 2015, so it's right around the corner. It's a 14-megapixel Wi-Fi digital instant print and share camera. I mean, the whole idea with this camera, now it's about 5 inches by 5 inches by about 1 inch, so it's, you know, fairly good size here. And it looks like an Instagram. You know, it has like Instagram markings and all that sort of stuff on it. And the idea is that it's connected via Wi-Fi. It has the Android operating system. You know, on a nice screen too, by the way. It's a 4.5-inch full-color LCD touch screen running the Android operating system. So you have browser, email. It includes GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and of course, a bunch of Android apps. So this is connected. This is like, you know, a thing that you can browse and send email and run apps with and do all that kind of stuff. What's really cool about it is that it also can make prints. So it has instant printing. Using inkless photo format. It's a nice little device where it can hold 10 prints. So you take a picture, you've got a digital 14 megapixel image, you can upload it to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, right there from the device, and you can make prints with it, all kind of right there. And you know, this is the making prints with it that I think is really interesting. And I was thinking about this in terms of my trip to Cuba because I thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice as I'm out taking pictures to be able to give someone a picture as a souvenir? If they helped me out, they posed for a portrait, you know, something like that, where I could share a picture with them, a physical picture that I could just hand them and that they could hang on to. I've thought about this over and over again. You know, there's all sorts of different ways to go about this. You can get a little instant printer that runs off a rechargeable battery. You know, Fujifilm makes one. And There are other devices that you can, you know, carry around to do this. Or in this case, you can have a camera that just when you take the picture, boom, you hit print button, it comes out and you can just hand it to them. So I was really kind of tempted by this. There's a couple little drawbacks. One of the drawbacks is that it is $299. So I'm not saying that that's overpriced, but I'm saying it's enough money where I stop and think, am I really going to use this? You know, how much am I going to spend on prints? It's 5x5x1 inch thick, so I've got to pack that. Then I've got to pack prints. How many prints do I need to bring? How much are they going to cost me? You know, you start kind of going down that road for a moment. There's that. And then the other thing that I don't know because I haven't tested it yet is how good is the print quality? How good is the camera? You know, can I get the kind of images out of this camera that I want? Because really, if you look at it, it makes me think like I'm shooting with like a Samsung S4 maybe, or my iPhone 5S, or, you know, it's kind of along those lines in terms of the type of camera it is. So I'm going, well, you know, do I really want to bring something that big that is that kind of camera? And then of course, how many prints am I really going to give away? And, you know, how's that all going to work out? The waters get muddied pretty quickly on this. That being said, I still think it's interesting, and I wanted to talk about it on the show today because you might have a situation that is perfect for, where you can just take pictures with it and you just send them up right away to the social networking and you just hand them off prints to people and you're just going, this solves a problem for me. And I could see that happening. So it's the Polaroid Socialmatic. I'm going to have a link to it in the show notes. By the way, I have links to everything I've talked about today in the show notes. You can click on the link and go check it out. You can order it now, and you'll probably have it by mid-January or the third week of January. And I tell you, if any of you try this out, if any of you buy this and use it, please let me know. Please drop me a note. Give me a little mini field report. I'd love to have a little hands-on report from this camera. Please keep me in mind, and I'll share it with everybody else. Because, again, it's one of those things. I'm fascinated by it. Part of me really wants to try it, and then the other half of me goes, no, you know, I'm going to end up leaving it home, and I'm not going to want to carry it around. So maybe you can change my mind on that. Third story, we have some winners. Yes, I have some new Sizzle Picks winners. Congratulations to the following Virtual Camera Club members who participated in recent photo assignments and have been selected as the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month. August 2014, my favorite close-up. And the winner is, drum roll, do you hear the drum roll in the background there? It's Gary, and it's, I want to say Laguerre, but I'm probably mispronunciating it. Gary, L-E-G-E-R-E, is the winner for August 2014, my favorite close-up. September 2014, shot from behind, Shelley Singer. You have the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month for September 2014. Shelley Singer, and October 2014, Water, Carl Short. Carl Short. Congratulations to Carl, Shelley, and Gary. You are our Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month. All you got to do is just drop me an email, Derek@thedigitalstory.com. Say, hey, I'm a Sizzle Picks winner. Hook me up, and I will do that, and we'll get your Sizzle Picks in the works. All right, speaking of Sizzle Picks, our photo assignment for December 2014 is Frozen for December 2014. To enter, all you have to do is go to the TDS member page, and it's all spelled out there. Just know that you can attach any size image that you want. Send it to me and get it into me by the end of December with the theme Frozen, and you will be in the gallery and have an opportunity to be selected as Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month. and possibly win a sizzle picks of your outstanding entry. Now, also, I have some news from Sizzle Picks, and they want to remind you about that they are Bill Me Later capable. They are wired for Bill Me Later. So what does that mean? Well, you can order your Sizzle Picks now and with Bill Me Later, make no payment until June. So that's great, especially if you're incorporating Sizzle Picks into maybe your business, your freelance business. So you could sell Sizzle Picks of your photography now, collect the money, collect the profit, and you have that before you actually have to pay for the Sizzle Picks. Just make sure you don't spend it all somewhere so that when June comes around, you go, oh, darn, I already spent that money. No, keep the profit, put away what you owe for Sizzle Picks, but no, you don't have to pay for it until June. And it's also helpful for photographers who maybe want to do a little gallery showing or display at your local coffee shop, something like that. You can get the show set up. You can get it on the wall, put the price tags on the images that you want to sell, hopefully garner some sales, kind of have it all taken care of before you actually have to pay to have the show hanging on the wall. So Bill Me Later is very handy. It buys you 6 months. You can have the Sizzle Picks now. It would work for gifts too. You can buy the Sizzle Picks now, have them up there, and then take care of the payment later on. SizzlePix.com. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And then also I want to mention our long-running sponsor, Red River Paper. Right now, you can save 10% off your next order of inkjet paper and greeting cards. Good one per customer. Use discount code STORY10X, STORY10X. This offer ends on January 15th, 2015. They have a landing page that you can access from any page of the digital story by clicking on the Red River tile. Go there, order the paper that you want. In the field for the coupon code in your order, enter STORY10X. You'll get 10% off. Get your paper, make your greeting cards, do your prints, show off your artwork, feel like an artist because you have something tangible to hand to other people. You'll love it. It's such a great feeling. Red River Paper also has a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Alrighty, well, I think that is going to do it for this week. I'm heading down to Santa Barbara, actually on Tuesday, today, for a lot of you that are listening to it. I'll be down there working with both Rocky Nook and with my friends at CT Digital Photography. So I'll probably do a little reporting from that part of the state. And then after that, I'm heading out to CES in Las Vegas. And I think there's going to be some news coming out of CES, so that'll be exciting. And then after that, off to Cuba. So there'll be lots to report on in the coming weeks. So make sure you continue to come back, tune in, and find out what's going on. Until next week, have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.